Members of Parliament, good morning to everybody that is here today on the public hearings of the bill that is in front of us, the Palestinian Language and Traditional Standard Bill. I'd like to welcome you all this morning, and today is the 20th of August 1983. No. 2013. Actually, I was thinking about the UDF, which was formed on this day, 1983. So I would salute the activists of the UDF. Oh, then I was long gone. When my mother told me not to buy bread during a stay-out time, I was there, you know, and I think I'd like to talk to those heroes and friends, Alan Busak, Naval Vitens, Sulu, Bishop Trevor Hudson, even Charlie Porter, by the way. thank you, members of parliament. I think now we're on time. Welcome, everybody. Members in front of me, I've got two apologies. One is from the Office of the Director General of the Department. He's got many meetings. I gave him a harsh reprimand this morning to say that you cannot say that when we have a bill which is very important, which is part of your, it's yours, you need to implement it. And as well as our political consult as well. I think when it comes to issues of bills, that's the most important part. So I'm not sure. I don't have the apologies in front of me. I don't know. So I cannot say where is who and where is who. Okay, then no. Apologies from both of them. And then Mamfana is there's no apology from Shana. Only apology I've got in front of me is Honorable Mustori, who is on a portfolio of Committee of Communication. We shall leave Tobin. You can get the two apologies. I think one of the issues that I need to think we must correct on those apologies in portfolio committee, we must not receive apologies in the morning. If a person doesn't know that he's not coming in the meeting, I think we must take a resolution that at least 7 days or 5 days before, because we can't be receiving apologies in the morning. I think we once discussed this, and a person will take apologies 7 days before, because we are not going to accept this anymore. It goes, Dr. Chogwin, where is he? I think you represent the government today. Where's Dr. Chogwin?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So we've been telling the Distribution Department, because every time we get such things in the money. To members of the public that are here, we'll just say welcome. I see. Sam? President
No, I wanted to clarify, I did fake the apology on the first to image. Yesterday was in Pretoria. I faked yesterday for minutes in abroad. No, I'll facilitate.
Go and get a photo so that we can put it in the event.
Okay.
But I know the deputy minister is in Michelle's plane, if I'm not correct. If I'm correct, yeah, no? Okay. Welcome, friends. I was saying welcome to members of the public. Thank you for showing interest in the bill. I see there are a lot of language practitioners here, even from Parliament. Welcome and thank you so much. I will introduce the members of the portfolio committee so that you can know who is who. My name is Tandile Sundula. I'm the chairman of the portfolio committee. I am from Gauteng. You can see I'm live. And I'm a member of the ANC. Then you have Advocate Ndapane, who's from the Eastern Cape and a member of the UTM. And next to him is Honorable Linda Moss. She's from here, from the Western Cape. She's a member of the ANC, she's a member of the Portfolio Committee. Then you have Honorable Noamita Shilubane. She's from Limpopo. She's a member of the ANC, member of the Portfolio Committee. Then you have Honorable Nzweli, from KwaZulu-Natal, is a member of the IP, a member of the portfolio committee. Then you have Honorable Jetaila, the political son. I haven't seen him in months. He's a member of COPE and a member of this committee. I'm not sure where he's from. Where is he from? Gauteng or Eastern Cape?
Gauteng.
Oh, okay. The last time you're from the Eastern Cape, so just checking. Then you've got Mabunda, it's a Bebe, he's from the COP, he's a member of the committee, member of the ANC. And the Bebe, you've got Honorable Senator Ben. I call him Little Nicky. I think you know him a lot, he's been a TV star for a long time. I didn't know he was so famous, Nick. Somebody saw you with me and say, where is this? He's a member of the ANC. He's from Gauteng in... He's from Gauteng with me. No, he's a member of DA. And then Honorable Joseph Pascalvik. She's from the Northern Cape, and she's a member of TA. Am I done? We always introduce each other like that, because some of you would want to say, I'm here when they say he's my province, from my province, so you know where they come from. And then we have got Javu, next to me, is our committee secretary. You've got Polisi, please raise your hand, Polisi is our content advisor. You've got Fiona Gaten, he's our, Polisi is from EZN. And Fiona is from the Western Cape, he's our researcher. You have Jonathan Verstazen, he's from Gauteng, and he's our committee assistant. You have Advocate Antheden, she's our legal advisor of today. Where from, Antheden? Of what? Okay. And who did I miss out? Malazo, our media person. I don't know where he is, and there. And then we have Sam Mohatana from Gauteng. He's a PLO, the minister. Then you have Tawadat Krasamba from the Eastern Cape. He's a PLO, the deputy minister. And then you have Sean, who is this thing? Sean Bevelet is our PMG. So whatever that we say here is accorded. So if you want to sue us, you get our tapes. Don't worry, you get our very quickly. You don't need to go to court to get our tapes. So there's Sean is recording everything. And then I see a lot of people from the language unit in Parliament. Welcome, and thank you for showing interest. I hope you have submitted as well. And thank you so much. I think we can start with the first person that is going to present. Thank you. The person that is going to present today is Professor Annemarie Pickles. Are you ready? Okay. She is representing the South African Translators Institute and also representing the Professional Editors Group. So because you are doing two submissions, I was laughing to you. I gave you 25 minutes for everything. Mm-hmm. You will present, and then I will tell you when or time is off, and then members will ask you questions. The questions that we are going to ask you are not the normal professional questions we interrogate you, but if you submitted something that we need to carry on, only. Not to say the wrong way, right? Sometimes a person says something, we also remember we're also making our deliberations here. So if you don't answer what you're saying, then you're direct to ask those questions. Then you know what I'm talking about. And all everyone here, the bathrooms are on the right hand side. Anything that you need, go to join, we'll join again. Anything that you need, whether you need a copy, whether you need something, please speak to me and you are welcome. Thank you. Are we having enough chairs here?
No.
Joining us and over there. Can you take this one also? Can you give these two chairs? There's also a chair here. There's also a chair. Someone can take this chair next to me here. I didn't know there was so much interest. There's no... In my house, I said that when the elder are here, the young ones will sit down on the floor. I can sit down on the floor. Which people, and the language is here, sit down with the many elders. So we'll get more chairs, we'll organize the chairs. No, it's fine. Even in the army, you can sit down, so it's not a problem. So we'll get more chairs. Can we just settle down? And I'd like to request to all our people here presenting, let's respect the presenter, let's keep quiet, let's listen. No gossip, no chit-chatting, no sweets passing around, all those things that are not seen in some of you. Please. Okay, thanks. Okay.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. First of all, thank you for allowing us as the South African Translators Institute and the Professional Editors Group to do a joint submission. Yeah. I will do my best to obey your instructions in terms of time. It's actually a very, shall I say, technically challenging piece of proposed legislation. There are many things that we would like to comment on, but what I've decided to do is to perhaps only focus on some of what we think are the main issues. We have a very detailed submission that I'm sure members will read at their leisure. The slide that I have there is simply just to give an introduction.
And where is the law advisor?
The state law advisor, Mr. Mnyeso, was supposed to be here.
And then where is he or she?
I have no idea, Chalice.
And where is the legal assistant from the department?
No, those were not coming, but Mr. Mnyeso was supposed to be here.
Can I go request something and include my host?
Okay, you can continue. Thank you. As by way of introduction, I would like to say that the South African Translators Institute and PEG, and I will in future just refer to them both as SATI and PEG, we welcome this bill on the South African Language Practitioners Council. This is certainly legislation that once promulgated, in our view, will effect a watershed in the language practice landscape. This is a very significant piece of legislation, and we would warmly welcome the further amendments and panel meeting of this piece of legislation in view of its importance. I will just very briefly try to give you a picture from a broader perspective. Just dwelling for a few minutes on what this profession that we are talking about and that we will in future have regulated, how that language profession is currently performing on our continent and then at the southernmost of Africa. I will subsequently deal with a few responses, a few comments that we have as regards the content of the bill. But I think the main point that I'd like to make is that this piece of legislation can be and will be a very important instrument of transformation as far as the language practice profession is concerned, and most importantly, as far as the very active use and promotion of all our indigenous languages is concerned. And from that point of view, again, a very significant piece of legislation in our view. I will also respond to a few of the important aspects, such as the functions of the proposed council, the composition of the board, the terribly important notion of accreditation, the matter of registration, and then code of conduct, and then I will conclude, hopefully within my allocated 25 minutes. Just to emphasize the role of language practitioners in our modern-day globalized world, referring to the globalized world, we are, I'm sure, all aware of the increased mobility of people, and hence, with increased mobility of people, the mobility of commodities, services, etc. What is important, in my view, is that language practitioners, translators, interpreters, text editors, have become key facilitators of global interconnectedness. And that seems to become very, and often I tell people that I'm convinced that the world out there, in other words, non-language experts or non-language, or people not really interested in language matters, simply do not realize that we are actually very important economic role players in the services sector worldwide. And giving thought to the increased armed conflict on our planet, think about the Arab Spring recently, Afghanistan, etc., and the concomitant media coverage, we are increasingly also becoming very important and, in brackets, political players. When we interpret on the battlefield, when we are mediating between journalists and local people, communication cannot take place in a multilingual context without us. If we stop communicating or stop mediating, the world will no longer turn around its own path. that, I would like to point to the fact that there is a very challenging future for translators, interpreters, for language practitioners. It is a fast-growing sector. The latest information that I have from 2010 was information, a report by the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, indicating that translation and interpreting, and listen to this, is one of the 10 fastest growing occupations on our planet. That employment of interpreters and translators in the projected period 2008 to 2018, that the employment is projected to increase almost 25%, what is significant is that it is much faster than the average for all occupations. And this is simply a measure of our increased role in a globalized economy and on the planet. A recent report by Kelly, 2012, on the global market for outsourced translation and interpreting services worth more than $33 billion, rather significant. And what I need to point out is that translation occupies the largest segment of that expenditure, followed by on-site interpreting and software localization. In other words, localizing computer software so that people in all corners of the world can choose to use their computers and or other computer-related products in their own languages. Coming to our continent, a report by Kelly produced on behalf of Translators Without Borders, and you see the title there, The Need for Translation in Africa, addressing information inequality, and immediately the phrase information inequality will jump off the page. Addressing information inequality so that Africa may prosper. They point out that Africa's share of the language services market is disproportionate, even when we consider its share of the global GDP, which is about 3.5 in 2012. Only about a quarter of 1% of the world's translation revenue. And there is a table indicating where Africa finds itself in this language services market. Fortunately, we do see that they estimate some growth, but I am sure that this table tells us that there is a huge potential for the language practice profession in South Africa. And hence, again, I would like to emphasize the fact that we view this piece of legislation as a watershed in our country. I'd like to point to the terribly important aspect of planning. We call it language planning for translation and interpreting resources. If we want to maximize the ability of our population to acquire knowledge, if we wish to level the playing field in terms of access to information, if we wish to increase educational levels and productivity, then government should probably invest more in translation. I refer to our government, but CAPN 2012 actually takes on all governments on this planet. In my view, in our multilingual context, in our country marked by its diversity, I am sure that most of us would agree that our government could also invest more in translation. just very briefly refer to the fact that translation, it would be a very good investment for any government to invest in translation and interpreting services, text editing services, because it creates discursive space. And when I say discursive space, I'm referring to the fact that translation creates new lexical items, new words, new vocabulary items, new registers, new genres. Translation takes languages to new places. And we are all painfully aware of the fact that our indigenous languages are still on a journey, and they still need to be taken to various corners of the language landscape. Where do translators for African languages live? This is also from the 2012 report. And you can see that more than a third of translators working as professionals on our continent live at the southernmost tip of Africa. And you can see the quote there in the left-hand corner. The author of the report said, the translation trade is one of the least organized of all trades in Africa. So, Madam Chair, we need a lot of work, and therefore, once again, we sincerely welcome this piece of legislation. Just a brief word, if you will allow me, on the South African Translators Institute, the non-governmental body that I represent. South Africa, compared to the rest of Africa, is at the forefront of organized translation activities on our continent. We have been benefiting as a profession from organized representation since the late 1950s, when the South African Translators Institute was established. From 1980, SARTI significantly shifted its focus to address the needs of our African membership. We became a member of the International Federation of Translators, a highly reputable organization, in 1993, and to the best of my knowledge, I stand to be corrected, I think we are still the only translator organization in Africa belonging to this organization. And we have been serving on the governing body of this organization since 1996. We are still, ladies and gentlemen, the only comprehensive non-profit professional organization for language professionals in our country. And I emphasize comprehensive non-profit professional organization. Our sister organization, PEC, is also a very significant organization, but it focuses primarily on what is known as text editing, while we, our 800 members plus, we deal with translation, interpreting, text editing, terminology, lexicography, and even language planning. Our members represent all 11 South African official languages, South African Sign Language. We have entered into an agreement with DESA to do their accreditation in sign language. Our members, some of our across the spectrum, about 50 other languages, such as French, Portuguese, Arabic, Mandarin, etc. So this is just a peek on the South African Translators Association. Our sister organization, the Professional Editors Group, founded in 1993, has grown substantially its current membership over 570. Its primary interest is in text editing, as I said. Their members work in the educational, academic, and general publishing environment. And these guys also work for magazine and the corporate sector as text editors, writers, rewriters, proofreaders, indexers, book designers, and book DTP specialists. Yes, real language-sensitive people. Madam Chair, the points that I would like to address in particular relate to the objectives of the board, the functions of the council, the very important matter of accreditation and registration, the composition of the board, the matter of the code of conduct, and then the issue of funding. Money, as we know, always comes into the picture. I will have tried to indicate page numbers relating to a specific page in our long submission. The first aspect that I would like to deal very briefly with is the issue of terminology, since I'm sure that the Department of Arts and Culture's legal eagles and the state law advisors will handle these, tweak, fine-tune all the technical issues, but I'd like to point out that there's an inconsistent use in the terms language industry on the one hand and the language professional professions on the other hand, and we would like that to be addressed, please. We propose that a better term would be language profession because it better underlines the professional nature of our work, and that is, after all, one of the primary aims of this piece of legislation is to elevate our profession to that of a real true profession. A more specific term that we actually wish to propose is language practice profession, which is more specific, less vague. The term text editor, we noticed that in the bill, reference is made to language editor. It has now become accepted practice in South Africa that we prefer to use the term text editor. And then hence we would suggest that text editor and hence text editing preferably be used in the document. The definition of interpreter and then interpreting suggests that it's, that the department brings it in line with the definition of translator, translation. And that they also define both language practice and language practitioner, which is not properly defined. Then the definition of language profession we find very wide and vague. We propose, Madam Chair, language practice profession, because that is what is exactly relevant to this bill. That is what it's about. And we propose that the definition be amended to that, that the language practice profession refers to work related to translation, interpreting, text editing, terminology, and lexicography. Then the most important, or some, arguably some of the very important aspects relate to the objects of the bill. Section 3H, to provide efficient and effective language service to members of the public who seek the services of the council. Our question, Madam Chair, is, will the council itself be providing translation, interpreting, and similar language services to the general public? Madam Chair, we say, please, no. We say, council should not be providing a language service. That is what accredited translators in South Africa will do. Members of the medical council are there not to provide medical services. They leave that to professionally qualified medical practitioners, doctors. So it's not the core business of this council. Madam Chair, we propose that it be rephrased something to the effect, provide efficient and effective language service to members of the public who seek the services of the council, thus to eliminate possible ambiguity. As regards the functions, Madam Chair, Section 41B says promote and regulate professional liaison among registered professionals. While we fully support the idea of promoting professional liaison among language practitioners, we propose that liaison should please not be regulated. We have ample evidence, Madam Chair, of spontaneous liaison that have been taking place in this sector for ages. Section 41F, we are absolutely in full agreement that this council should make recommendations on the provision of education and training. Coming from a teaching environment where we train translators and interpreters, we are absolutely fully in agreement. But, and also the fact that these curricula must be in line with the multidimensional nature of translation and interpreting markets in this globalized era. Madam Chair, we would please wish to emphasize that regulations in this regard be made by Council, as is customary, but that only minimum requirements be set, so that tertiary institutions should have the freedom to determine their own curricula within the framework of minimum prescribed requirements. Then, provision for broad consultation and liaison in Section 41C with SACCOA, with the Department of Arts and Culture, the Council on Higher Education, the National Skills Authority, we are totally in agreement. But there's an important omission, Madam Chair, that we would like to point out, and that is that there's no provision for consultation and liaison with relevant professional bodies, which is at the heart of the matter. We wish to propose, Madam Chair, the Council also consult and liaise with relevant professional bodies, and those that represent substantial numbers of language practitioners, thousands of language practitioners. Section 41Q, develop and implement a framework for the accreditation of language practitioners at all levels, Madam Chair, again, in full support. It is the core business of Council. It will elevate our, and please forgive me for saying so, but this is life in South Africa as far as the language profession is concerned. It will elevate our Cinderella profession, and it will ensure consistent service orientation. So we are in full support. Madam Chair, we would like to propose that accreditation must include at least two levels of accreditation, and that it must be linked to a system of continuing professional development, a system that characterizes almost all professional bodies and professional activities. We therefore propose practitioners, Madam Chair, must be involved in determining the various categories of accreditation. excuse me, Section 41R, develop, implement, enforce, revise the professional code of ethics governing the conduct of all registered language practitioners, fully support an enforceable code of ethics. As a matter of fact, it is one of the most important features of such a council. Madam Chair, we need to register our concern that a single code will not, in our view, be able to cover all branches of our rather multidimensional language practice profession. We therefore propose a generic code that is supplemented by rules to provide for specific requirements. And people in this room who are familiar with, for example, sign language interpreting will be aware of the fact that there's a unique dress code for sign language interpreters. And this is just one example of code conduct that could be captured in more specific codes subsequent to a generic code. The Council may advise the Minister on accreditation and competency levels in the language profession to improve the provision of quality of services rendered by language practitioners through adequate education and training. Section 4.2.8. Madam Chair, we please propose augmenting that section slightly. We would like to keep the gist of that sentence and add both in-service and experiential training by way of continuing professional development through short courses, workshops, seminars, etc. So we wish to add a little more value to that provision. Section 4.4, Council may enter into agreements with any person with expert knowledge in a particular field, so assist or advise Council in connection with any matter relating to its objects, powers, duties and functions in terms of this Act. Madam Chair, again, we wish to fully support, and we please wish to offer our what we think could be expert assistance in relation to the codes of conduct and accreditation matters. Section 5.2a, members must be fit and proper persons collectively possessing appropriate knowledge, experience, skills in the language industry. Very important, that phrase, language industry. Madam Chair, we propose that branches of industry be specified in terms of the core elements of our profession: translation, interpreting text, editing, terminology, and lexicography. And then, in appointing, Section 5.3b, in appointing the members contemplated in subsection 1, the Minister must ensure that the balance of interests is maintained between persons representing, and then, Madam Chair, there's a long list, I will not read that list, but I need to register our concern, serious concern, Madam Chair, that the section is much too heavily weighted towards representation by government structures, and I have highlighted there. We propose that professional associations should have permanent representation on this board, Madam Chair. Because of our large membership base, we even propose, Madam Chair, a separate seat to be rotated between or allocated to a representative of each of the two largest professional associations, PARTI and PEC. We concern Section 5.4.5.5 allow too much control by the Minister of Arts and Culture, Madam Chair. The Minister is to appoint the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. The Minister, liaison between board and the Minister happens via the Department of Arts and Culture's RIP. Madam Chair, the independence and the integrity of the board, in our humble opinion, may be jeopardized. Hence, Madam Chair, we propose that the chairperson, the deputy chairperson, since it is widely accepted that the board members do that themselves, be appointed by the board members. That liaison between the board and the minister should be the function of the board chairperson. We want to ensure, Madam Chair, the independence and the integrity of this extremely important body in our profession. It should not be jeopardized. It should not be at risk. Madam Chair, the important matter of the composition of the board, Section 5.8. Appointment of a section panel consisting of senior departmental officials to review all the nominations to the board and make recommendations to the minister on the nominees. Madam Chair, our proposal that representatives of language practitioners also be involved in the selection panel, selecting not only lead departmental officials, but to be responsible for this, but also the grassroots representation, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the accreditation matter, we are concerned that the core business of this body, the framework for accreditation, is dealt with very superficially. There is no reference to competence, only to capacity. Standards being met is not addressed. Public accountability, a hugely important issue, is not addressed. Madam Chair, we propose that the following aspects must please be considered in the future revision. Categories of language practitioners to be accredited must be addressed. The languages, Madam Chair, language combinations, that terribly important matter of transforming our landscape, especially for previously modernized languages, will not happen if we are not very specific about those language combinations and how we are going to go about that important issue. Different levels of accreditation that should be offered should be addressed and should be explicated. The nature of qualifications required for accreditation, very pivotally important aspects, must be addressed. Categories, Madam Chair, language practitioners, two proposals. From definitions in the book, it seems the government is thinking only of translators, interpreters, text editors, lexicographers, and terminologists. If this is the case, if this is what government would want to do, it should be specified. Our question then is, Madam Chair, what about other categories, such as proofreaders? Should it be a separate category? Language planners or language managers, what about them? And then lexicographers and terminologists, are they indeed part and parcel of this grouping? Madam Chair, late last night I received an email from the Lexi Editors Forum, who represents the 11 national lexicography units that are, as you know, substructures of the South African Language Board. And they requested me to include the following, and I have included this verbatim. As practicing lexicographers, however, we would like to briefly address the point made in paragraph 9.3 of Saati and Peg's submission. And this is the first quad there, Madam Chair, is what we write in our submission. Have the compilers of the bill considered whether lexicographers and terminologists really need to be accredited? Is there any possibility of untrained, competent persons passing themselves off as experts and putting the public at risk in the same way as a translator or an interpreter might do? That is the question we pose in our submission. And the bottom part is the response from the Lexi Editors Forum. They say, as the definition of lexicographer in the bill rightly states, lexicographers compile dictionary do not render service to the public. If accreditation is really deemed necessary, we would like to play a role in the determination of standards for accreditation or the accreditation itself. And Madam Chair, I see here again another request for more grassroots consultation and collaboration, which we as Saati and Peg feel is really of cardinal importance. More on the categories, Madam Chair. We are concerned about the position of sworn translators. It is not clear. And Madam Chair, the category of sworn translators is hugely important in the running of many aspects of our society. The bill seems to indicate that sworn translators will not be recognized as language practitioners after the so-called transitional period of 2 years. That's in terms of Section 41.1a. We propose that the position of sworn translators must please be clarified. Are they to be registered and accredited or registered or accredited? Knowledge of the legality aspects of documents, again, hugely important. We propose that the bill could introduce a category of permanently sworn interpreter if they would want to retain the notion of a sworn translator. So sworn translator category and sworn interpreter. Extremely important in our country, where liaison interpreting forms a really important part of our activities. A few suggestions, perhaps proposals, not firm, but along these lines. One could, Madam Chair, think about levels of accreditation. The bill is silent on this, Madam Chair. The left-hand column shows a level one, liaison interpreting, also known as community interpreting. An extremely cardinal function that could take place in hospitals, doctors' surgeries, police stations, emergency situations, etc., etc., etc. Level two, conference interpreting, a very very demanding aspect of interpreting. And Madam Chair, we can see on the continuum that level one would arguably require less competence and level two have high competence. On the right-hand column, sort of the same configuration. Level one, when translation is only for information, Very often people use Google Translate to simply understand a piece of writing, that kind of thing. The people who are required to do quick translations simply to get people access to the gist of a document could be qualified in level 1, level 2, for example, media translation, other forms of translation, etc. And in level 3, sworn translation, which requires a high level of competence. Section 3.2, the matter of accreditation registration, says the any qualification contemplated in subsection 1 obtained separately or conjointly with any other qualification entitles a holder thereof to registration in terms of this Act, if he or she has before or connection with or after the acquisition of the qualification question complied with the prescribed conditions or requirements. Madam Chair, we have a concern. That concern is that accreditation could be granted on basis of an academic qualification alone, and that really worries us. Madam Chair, while I teach and I train translators and interpreters and text editors, and if you would excuse the ad break, but I'm sure we do a very good job, I will not feel happy if an ex-student of mine simply goes into Parliament, into the Handout office, and starts translating. We need practical experience, simply part of the game. So we are concerned that that considerable practical experience that is generally needed to reach a level of competence and required for accreditation, that is not addressed adequately in the law. We're also concerned that the extent to which accreditation is to be required is not specified. We're also concerned whether practitioners need to be both registered and accredited. The bill is silent on that, Madam Chair. We are concerned whether this will be limited, registration and or accreditation, limited to practitioners working in the official languages only. The bill is silent about that. Or will official languages plus major world languages also come into the picture? And we all know about the immensely important role that the French language plays in Francophone Africa, just to mention just one. We propose that a distinction must be made between languages in which accreditation will be required and a distinction between how practitioners working in other languages are to prove their credentials. The bill is silent, Madam Chair, much to our distress, I need to admit and confess, silent on the recognition of society's accreditation. It says, Council must recognize accreditation voluntary associations that are in language professions, leaving the Council no choice in the matter with no limit on the period of recognition. That is Section 4.1G. Transitional provisions specify that for a period of 2 years, the sunset clause, after the legislation comes into operation, the Council may recognise accreditation granted by voluntary or other associations prior to the establishment of the Council, provided that the Council may conduct a competency test whenever it deems this necessary. We are happy with that, Madam Chair, but we wish to propose that some sort of grandfather clause be included in this legislation to grant perhaps permanent recognition to specified accreditation in force when legislation comes into operation. And if, I beg your pardon, but I need to quickly refer to my own situation. I was accredited as a SATI translator way back in 1991, if I remember correctly. My concern, this is very personal, what is going to happen with me? Will my accreditation and my experience over all these hundreds of years, will that go down the drain? And I think my concern is a real concern of many real, real hard-working language practitioners in our country, in all our official languages and working in important foreign languages. So we were to propose a grandfather clause to grant permanent recognition, as I said, when the accreditation comes in force. And we also propose, Madam Chair, that SATI and PEG be specified as only bodies, they are the only bodies currently offering accreditation. And as I said, we introduced our accreditation in the early 1990s. As far as I know, the only translation organisation on our continent that provides accreditation. I stand to be corrected. Madam Chair, the very important issue of continued professional development, we're concerned that there's no provision for continued professional development in the bill. Practitioners would need to be reaccredited at regular intervals if there's no requirement for CPD. Otherwise, their competence may dwindle, the correct verb, and we are worried about that. We propose that CPD must be required to remain an accredited member. To maintain accreditation, CPD must take place. It should form an integral part of the objectives of the role. And CPD is pivotal in most of the professions in South Africa at this point in time. We therefore propose Section 4.1Q, which reads, develop and implement a framework for the accreditation of language practitioners at all levels. That be augmented to read, develop and implement a framework for the accreditation and related continuing professional development of language practitioners, providing for a minimum of 2 levels of accreditation. CPD, as I said, is established in a number of professions. It's standard practice for most statutory councils, to the best of my knowledge. These councils enter into a relationship with the relevant professional bodies or individuals to present updates on or CPD training that goes on continuously. Our proposal, Madam Chair, SATI and PEG are ideal partners in this exercise with the proposed council. Just a brief example, PEG and ASAI offer short courses that could be recognized in the CPD system. SATI also offers these courses. It could be a mechanism for approving such courses and then become part of the CPD. Madam Chair, the matter of money, we concern that the law does not indicate the proportion of funding of council that should be appropriated by government and what needs to be obtained through the accreditation and registration fees that grassroots and other language practitioners will have to pay. It is a matter of concern to us. We also concern that no minimum or recommended rates for work in the field are contemplated. This is customary for many, if not most, statutory bodies. Madam Chair, thank you for your patience. In conclusion, I'd like again to express our sincere appreciation for this opportunity to comment on this important and potentially very, very valuable piece of legislation. We look forward to being involved in the further development of this legislation. You please call on us. And thank you in 4 languages at least.
Thank you, Professor Perkins. Thank you for your presentation. And I must say, it's a very interesting submission. And when I went through it, I think you are more clear when you present it and more than going through it. But I've got a few questions. Any of us? Anyway, how many want to raise questions? I must know. Okay. Questions? Honourable members? Because I think it will be easier for you if you write down the questions. Okay. What else can we ask? Why is the I think my question, usually I say I must go first, it's my turn and I'm using my power today, would be just on what you have raised on the name to say from language profession, from language practitioner to language profession. I think, as I said, the questions are not wrong or right, I'm saying everything, just something that we don't get clarity. I must say I'm disappointed with you because we're not part of the South African Languages Bill. You did not submit because I think I would have needed someone like you on this presentation. But the tour, with levels of interpretation, I'm asking this based on also the levels of interpretation that you've raised because fortunately you were the one who raised it. You find that it would not be offensive to those who are not professionals because you would find that there are practitioners who are, I would say they are uneducated. Who are one, usually the term professional we use it when we have certain academic record, that how it is used. We go to public hearings or to communities. people who are interpreting for us are people who even went to school, you know. And well, where do you put them when you say now professional? You said it in clinics, most of, I don't know, in the modern days, I remember when you grew up, the people who interpret were old women who never went to school. My grandmother interpreted the soup in me. She never went to school. So what do you fit those people in a kind of a tonsil? Has got dictionaries now. And some of the dictionaries, I remember the Khoisan dictionary. The people who provided the language terminology is the only people who went to school. And the dictionary was there. It was not professional, it was not academics, it was just organic international intellectual. They never went to school. So now, on this, how do you fit them, or when you say you change it to practitioners and to profession, how do you fit them in? Also in what you've raised on level of interpretation, I don't remember what slide number was it when you showed it over. And you speak also on translators. I like it what you are reading, but then also the same people, because I think my more concern is more on you still remember the slide that, yes, that's the slide that I was speaking about. Where do you fit them in there? Because that's one of the issues. As a practitioner, maybe the question maybe that I can just ask generally. A lot of the indigenous languages are diminishing. That's why we have South African languages, which is an act now. Are diminishing because these are some of the challenges that we're talking about. Students think that you don't want them in the certain area. They can't be doing this. And one of the issues that we have seen, a lot of young people, I think the younger generation, they think that when you speak English, it's cool. You go to Africa, you show that Africa in the world. Mostly Anglophone and Francophone. You know, you go to the DRC and all the countries. Some, they can speak their own languages. You can speak French. You come to Africa now. You know, all black children still say, no, you know, mommy, I can't speak that language. You know, your own African languages. So where would you see us fitting, using this to say, how to keep the practitioners come aboard? Because here in Parliament, I'll tell you, if we didn't have the tier at the back there, I'm disappointed they didn't submit anything as well. I'm grateful of them because they still have interest in our languages. You go to universities now. No one wants to be a terminologist, a language interpreter, whether I'm lexical. I can't name it. I've been here for 5 years, but I just name lexical. Let's see for now. When I say let's see, then you know what I'm talking about.
We can use the word dictionary next.
Exactly. I know the professor, is it professor from Stellenbosch?
Yeah.
Who? NLU, one of the NLU. I'm shocked you're not here, but it's fine. I think you got where my question is going based on the field, but I'm happy with your question. Now, members, it's women's month. Can I start with women? Members, and Dr. Vassalbe, any other woman? Are you a woman according to the South African law that is allowing you to be? Okay.
My mother's a woman.
Anyway. Dr. Vassalbe, Honorable Lisa Nikki, Honorable Tatane, Honorable Chitela, Honorable Mabunda. I think there was a member of the public who wanted to participate. Sam, did you raise your hand?
It wasn't me, but I'm not
allowed to. No, you can. I it's women, so I'm very friendly. So I will just give you that opportunity. That's why it's a public hearing, so that you can also understand from her side as well. Okay. Thank you. Is that all, Honorable Basave?
Ooh, thank you, Jay.
Can you
kindly
switch off your mic
when it was tough? Thank you, Jay. As a member of this committee, we always want to promote multilingualism. So therefore, I'm going to address Professor Bikus in Afrikaans.
Can I interpret her? I know that you're not there today, but can you kindly
help us? The two of you are here today. Please. Okay. Professor Bikus, thank you for the insiggewende aanbieding wat u gegee het. Ek het net een opmerking vraag. Die wet en die professionalisering van die taalpraktisynsberoep, sou u dit beskou as 'n voorvereiste vir die nuwe taalwet, die use of die gebruik van amptelike tale wat ons in 2012 gebommel geheer het. As ons denk aan al die werk wat in die staatsdepartemente gedoen moet word door taalpraktisyns, sou die inwerkingstelling van die wet dit bevorder. Baie dankie.
Thank you for the very insightful presentation that you made. I just have one. Pardon? Responding. Thank you very much for the insightful presentation that you made, Professor. I just have one comment and question. This act and professionalization of the language practitioner's profession, would you see this as a prerequisite, for instance, for the new Languages Act, the Use of Official Languages Act that we promulgated in 2012? If we were to think of all the work that has to be done in government departments by language practitioners, would the implementation of this particular goal be a promotion of that work? Thank you very much.
Baie dankie voorzitter, ek het gesien dat Johan ingestap het en toe dat ek weet, ons gaan maar Afrikaans oor die praat vandag. Ek wil net dit baie duidelik maak, jy weet, taal in Suid-Afrika is een soeke moeilike ding. Oor die jaren is het geweldig verpolitiseer en as ek bijvoorbeeld as Afrikaans spreek en dit Afrikaanse man Afrikaans praat, dan is dit om my autoriteit of iets te toon. Ek hoop dit is een lang geschiedenis waar ek kom, maar ek dink toch, waarmee ons nou bezig is ongelooflik belangrik, en dit gaan vir my daar oor, dat ons nergens in Suid-Afrika gaan uitkom, as elke individu nie gaan lees in sy taal nie. Dit is al wat het gaan. Ek sê, ruiterlik, ek is geweldig lief Afrikaans, dit is my lekker om te praat, dit is my lekker om te gebruik as wonderlijke woorde wat oor een mens die tong kan gly as jy wat eet taal praat. En so kan die Kosas en die Zulus en die Sepedis, allemaal kan hulle taal so gebruik, want dit is een wonderlijke mooie taal. En as my eers kyk na die idiomatiese van die taal, dan sit ons in Afrika met een ongelooflike rykbron. En dit benut word, dat ek dink ons Ons taal is goudmijn wat ons die oomlik hier in ons hand het, wat nog nie eens haast en by ontvind is nie. Maar wat ek eindelijk nou wil by uitkom is, ons het verlede jaar, geagte voorzitter, het ons baie gedebatteer oor die Use of South African Languages Bill. En nou was klein politieke rij waar ons vastgeval het op die ou einde wat er taal moet uitgelaat word en wat er tale moet dit nie gemaakt word en moet die taal gestraal word of moet die taal nie gestraal word nie. Maar op die ouwe einde het het gegaan oor al die tale van Suid-Afrika wat belangrik is en dit gaan oor die toepassing van die taal binnen spesifieke streek so dat mense kan praat, so dat mense kan communikeer met elkeen. En ek dink ook nou hierdie Language Practitioners Bill, gebruik maar die Engels omdat dit die amptelike titel daarvan is, is een belangrike instrument in die voortsetting van veeltaligheid in Suid-Afrika. Ons gaan ongelooflik baie verloos veeltaligheid in Afrika nie gaan slaag nie. Want ons praat so dikwels oor die bewaring van erfenis en die belangrikheid wat aan erfenis gegee moet word in Suid-Afrika en erfenis wat in die verlede nie na behore omgesien is nie. Dit is so dat Afrikaans, die Afrikaners kultuur en so aan, is meer opgeheef in die verlede van ons geld aangegee. Want die taal is ook ons erfenis. Het is ons elkeen se taak en se ons moeder ons erfenis te skerm. So ek wil vir u bedankie sê, dit was een verskriklike insiggewende voorlegging wat ons vandag hier gekry het, wat in die ontvouwing van hierdie Language Practitioners Bill nog een geweldige invloed van hy. En ek is nie seker, voorzitter, hierdie is wat bloot die begin waarmee ons bezig is. Want as hierdie behoorlik uitgebouw is en al die insette is ingeskakel, dan gaan ons op dit baie netjiese stuk werk hier sien hier sit wat taal in Suid-Afrika gaan ondersteun. En ek dink die professor het 'n ding gesê vandag wat nie wat mense nie besef nie. Is dat dit die vinnig groeiendste beroep in die wêreld is. Kan jy dink as taal 10% tot die BNP van Suid-Afrika gaan bydra? Wat 'n enorme invloed gaan dit op werkskeping in Suid-Afrika hê? Dis geweldig. Dis enorm. 10% wat tale kan bydra. Ek dink dis omtrent gelykwaardig wat metale bydra tot die bruto ekonomiese produk of wat ek op BNP. Ek sien jy het nie al die syfers in my kop nie. Maar dis enorm. Sit dan nog by by kommunikasie as die uitrolling van breëband bygevoeg word. En dit is ook nog 10%. Dan sit ons met 20% wat ons die verlede nie gehad het nie. Dis 'n geweldige, enorme hoeveelheid werkskeping wat kan plaasvind. So, dankie professor, dis 'n uitstekende voorlegging wat jy gemaak het en ek dink die definiering van begrippe is baie, baie belangrik wat mense verder mee kan speel, maar ek dink u lê 'n baie belangrike grondslag vir ons om verder op te werk. En ek wil vir u sê van ons kant van die portefeulje komitee, en ek weet van ons kollegas, ons werk hier saam in as verskillende politieke partye. Taal is vir ons ongelooflik belangrik. In ons portefeulje komitee gaan dit oor nasiebou en versoening en so aan. En ons het elke moontlike moment gebruik wat ons taal kan aanwend om dit te versoen. In die verlede is taal gebruik om mekaar te beklei. En nou moet ons taal gebruik om beter te kommunikeer. Ons kan nie net in die toekoms in Engels met mekaar kommunikeer nie, want die boodskap gaan verlore. Baie dankie, voorsitter. Maar dit hoef nie alles vertaal te word,
Yes, thank you very much for that very instructive presentation. And last year when we struggled with the, language in South Africa tends to be very difficult and it was politically divisive for me as a white Afrikaans-speaking man. When I used my language, it was seen as an attempt to stamp my authority on things. But it's important that we should all love our languages, and I don't think that we will get anywhere in this country if we all do not love our own languages. And last year we struggled with the promotion or use of South African languages bill, and there was some initial politicking, but we managed to get over that and pass that and could produce a very productive piece of work by cooperating, and I'm sure that that is the case with this bill as well. And language is really a resource. We've got wonderful South African languages, and it's a resource which has not been fully tapped. And I'm sure just like the use of Official Languages Act we promulgated last year, that this bill could also be an instrument to contribute to that, to the exploitation or the tapping of that resource. Because language is also a part of our heritage, it's difficult, or it's very important that we should preserve that heritage. It should not be neglected as it often was in the past. Afrikaans was supported very much for political reasons, but it's equally important that the other languages now be supported in a similar way because it's part of our common South African heritage, and in our committee we always struggle with matters of nation building and conciliation. In the past languages tended to be divisive, but in the future also with the aid of acts like these, language could become a tool for conciliation, and that is really what is important. I hope I did justice to your to your remarks, Mr. Fenner.
Thank you. Mr. Fenner?
Thank you. I have a second.
Prof, let me join my colleague, you know, in commending you for the passion you have shown. My first question is, why do you prefer text editors than language editors? I didn't hear your explanation of why do you feel this must be changed. The second question is in item 4, that is section 4.2, where you feel practitioners are supposed to be involved. So my question is, how do you suggest that these professionals should be involved? When you talk about professionals, do you mean the SATI and PEG members? And then if that is so, how do you see them being involved? And then the third question, also the question of the client about the lexical corpus. You know, accreditation is for many of standards. What harm does it make if they are accredited? And then the last question is in section 22, that is item 10, not yet the act, see the bill, is item 32, sub item 2, where you feel experience will be taken to consideration. According to you, what is the full experience and how will it be addressed? Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you. Don? Go.
Kunqede ukuzikhangela kwela phepha nombolo linelokwenza ngesikhuphu esongeziweyo malunga nezo liki eziyacacisiweyo. Andikhange ndiyijonge kuba ngunamba bani, kodwa kwangunqedise mntu ophethe iphepha. Awuyitshile phaa eli ndilixelileyo kuthiwa kukwisikobo esengeziweyo senatsika sesetoliki apha ibhalwe ngohlobo ngesilungu increase scope for translation. Awundimnedisapha phaa ivele phaa ya.
You want
to see one of
the
lines? From your
land,
you
see?
Wait, what?
Which side?
I am going to be here. You want
to
go
on the way
to bring it up? I don't know what to say.
No,
that's what. Kalau sekarang logis ikut satu lagi orang mula. Nampak pun dah upah petang dengan kasih. Ya matrik. Jadi umumnya orang ke nokok ma nokok riva kak selan dau ebagai kasih. Sebab tuan di negara kalau presiden jadi dia paya esan. Sebab uitata kufirkan jangan kuy. Jauh hari dari phone bukan. Phone bukan ni cuma phone ikat esan lebih mudah.
I'll try. So, Ucho, when I've interpreted wrong. Prof, I'm just thankful very much for the presentation. And now, on this, increase scope for translation interpreting industry. On the projected to increase the 20% employment interpreters and translation. The 22%, where does that come from? How did you come to that? Did they rise? Okay. I'm from Soweto. Soweto is the language of mine. Okay. Thank you. I will, Mabunda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Prof, you shown that you have been interrogating this failure.
and as you have made mention of the gaps and omissions that the bill might also have covered on. So there are some aspects where you say we have got a concern. We might not be in the position as for now to say exactly what is going to happen, because this is still a bill, and we have seen some omissions where you think it needs to be included in this bill. For instance, we have indicated in section 4.4 that you have that serious concern whereby the minister should designate members of this council, and you have made your proposal there whereby you indicate also you think it would not be fair if the minister alone do that particular job. Normally, we may all agree to say the council themselves may appoint their chairperson, the deputy chairperson by themselves, after they have been appointed or selected. So in this kind of a bill, it shows maybe there's some other thing that should be considered, whereby the minister is given that authority to do the appointment of the chairperson, deputy chairperson. Normally, as I said, we used to know it being appointed, selected by among the chairs. So do you have anything that that maybe you can say it's supposed not to be like those other councils and board members that are being appointed among themselves, because this one is specifically because of one or two reasons. Just want to understand your concern. I think that will also make us understand more clearly about it. Without any waste of time, others have covered me on this. The level of accreditation that we have made mention of, where the bill is silent about it, the importance of that level of accreditation, as we have indicated in our slide. I think also, one is tempted to ask and say, why do you think this is important? Because in some other certain issues being talked about, but not specifically categorizing them. So why do you think important in that level to put this one in level A, B, and so on and so on. And then the other one is also indicated the silences of this bill in relation to the recognition of study as accreditation. Of course, you have been interrogating yourself. We just hear what you are saying. We don't know what made you to come to this conclusion. But due to not having enough time, would be privileged to understand more clearer why did you come to this kind of conclusion. The last point, maybe I didn't understand you correctly, but I've just finished and read it and with more understanding anyway. You talk about the grandfather and grandmother clause from the, what do you call this, down to Mother Earth. When you talk about my grandfather and the grandmother, I'm just thinking it literally. I'm trying to coordinate that with what the chairperson has indicated earlier on. But will you just be privileged to understand why do you put it in that, literal? Maybe it has got some scientific interpretation or legal interpretation. But literally, I'm thinking of the real grandfather. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Marley Rose. I'm a translator, editor, member of PEG, member of SANTI, working in the private sector. Professor Pierce, thank you very much for doing us proud. I have a request, and that is concerning point 1.3.5. Should the various language professions be listed to please include the indexer as a separate profession. Because indexing, whenever you buy a book, you look in the back of the book to see what the book is about, whether it covers the topic that you want to read about. So indexing is a separate profession, and we have highly skilled indexers in South Africa and in the Western Cape. It isn't subsumed under terminology or under lexicography or under text editing. It stands on its own. So that is my request, please.
There's three upside. Do you want to go for three or what your prof to answer with you first? Then break with you. Oh, okay. Okay, we'll try and move to Angaz my bottom again to the booty. If there are no things then you can get something, please. Who needs a meeting about transport? Just ask for this thing. I mean, if you are doing breaking plan in the future, please. Okay. Just get here from another portfolio code of transport. Hey, Prof. Dave, it's your time. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have to start with your question and comments. My understanding of what you were saying, you were asking me how would I define, delineate the notion of a professional language practitioner as opposed to, shall I say, a natural language practitioner who was not trained. That's my sense of what you were asking. It immediately brought to mind an old debate among translators and interpreters as to the question, is a translator or an interpreter born or bred? In my neck of the woods, where we train translators and interpreters, and where obviously we emphasize a lot imparting knowledge, in other words, theory, and also skills, in other words, how to do. We try to strike a balance between both, and we believe that both these aspects, knowledge of skills, how to do, are a very good combination for a person who could arguably be claiming to be a professional language practitioner. The same way that, if I may refer to another old, you know, there's a saying that interpreting is the second oldest profession on our planet. The medical profession is also a very old profession. And a very highly respected profession. And our profession is, as I said, a Cinderella profession, not even a fledgling profession in the sense that we have no protection, and the public at large have no protection. So that's a serious issue regarding professionalization. To go back, the medical profession, when we train medical practitioners, we also impart knowledge, the how, the what, and the skills. How to do an operation, how to diagnose a patient, how to perform remedial therapy, etc., etc. And that is exactly what we aim for in training professional translators. When starting in 1991, when we started our accreditation process, we changed our membership categories. We said that we have two membership categories. The one membership category is open to all people who are interested in rendering a language service, irrespective of qualification. So we changed the criterion that a qualification should be a prerequisite. In response to the natural translators, and at that juncture in our society, many of the practicing translators and interpreters were in fact not trained, but were competent and performing well. That's the one thing we did. We changed our membership category and allowed everyone into our fold that expressed an interest in rendering language services. The second thing we did was we introduced accreditation, where we said we need to facilitate the process towards professionalizing our profession, because in addition to the naturals, the honorable naturals who have a clear calling to render service, we also have, if I may say so, backyard mechanics who do not necessarily have natural talent and who abuse the public by charging high rates for inferior work. So that is a real threat to our profession. And one of the reasons why we've not yet managed, I think, to elevate our profession to the same level as other professions in the country. So, Madam Chair, yes, translators are born, but they are also bred. In terms of the modern globalized economy, in terms of the challenges that the multidimensional nature of our work require of us, we firmly believe that like medical doctors, like auditors, like psychologists, that we would want to professionalize our activities and hence protect the public from people who are not qualified to do the job. On the other hand, also protect the people who do an honorable job and who are in fact contributing to the ethic of selfless service delivery. Not sure whether that answers your question. I could also give you an anecdote in a certain sense based on research that a student of mine did a few years ago in the Kalafong Hospital in the district of Pretoria in the greater Tshwane area, where she researched the interaction in the Kalafong Hospital's pharmacy, where the pharmacists at that point in time, and I think it was in 1997, where they were speakers of Afrikaans and English and had very little competence in the languages of the region, Swahili, Setswana, perhaps also Sesotho, Tshivenda, Tonga. And the absolutely startling revelations that came to the fore of how patients did not understand the directions given by the pharmacist when issuing medicines to the patients, because the instructions were in either English or Afrikaans. And if there was not a nurse available to translate the explanations given by the pharmacist in order to tell the patient how exactly to take his or her medicine, failed. And that is a very dangerous situation. Lives are at stake, people's health, obviously, and it's also the question of money, money going wasted, and people not responding to correct treatment because they're not taking their medicines correctly. Now, that student of mine's research caused quite a stir at a conference. Because the well-meaning pharmacists or well-meaning doctors do not always realize, you know, the people out there who are not language sensitive, who take language for granted, they are not always aware of the ramifications of their conduct. Another important function of a professional counsel is to raise awareness of the activities of language professionals, language practice professionals, to raise awareness of the ramifications of using the so-called backyard mechanics. In all other serious professions, we deal with serious professionals. It is a problem, I think, in our society that society at large are not tuned in to the issue of language and language abuse. Not necessarily intentional, very often unintentional, but serious consequences. And I could go on giving examples of that. So, Madam Chair, I hope that you understand this very deep-seated desire in our profession to deliver selfless service to our society, which we form part of. You mentioned the fact that we're in a multilingual society, and that there is this notion of cool languages and less cool languages, and there's even the notion of the super cool language. Yes, it's all about, I think, the language dynamic of our society. And again, raising awareness of the use of our multilingual dispensation and the rich texture of our languages could also be important. Not sure if I've dealt with your concerns. Dr. von Schoffer, I need to think back. What was the gist of your question? If I remember correctly, you asked whether this piece of legislation would be almost a prerequisite for the implementation of the use of the Official Languages Act, the successful implementation. I can't actually imagine the two not actually piggybacking on each other. It's one of the things that I would again like to commend the Department of Arts and Culture and the Minister of Arts and Culture, because the introduction of this legislation is part of the, shall I almost say, the prescription in the current national language framework for national language policy, published in 2003, and its implementation plan published in 2003, where the establishment of such a council was literally prescribed by the language policy. Now, I agree, is at this stage, the status of that policy is actually still just a framework, and I am sure we are all looking forward to the implementation of a, shall I say, a full language policy based on the official use of the Official Languages Act and the ramifications of this South African Language Council Practitioner Act. The two cannot be isolated, and incorrectly they were linked in the framework for a national language policy in 2003. We cannot expect to implement official multilingualism in our country successfully. We cannot expect to render selfless, high-quality service in the area of language practice if we do not have professionals that we can quote a book if they fail. And that is what this council needs to do. I'm not sure if that addresses your concern. They go hand in hand. They're a twin. Mr. van der Berg, yes, it was an eloquent speech. I'm not sure what you want me to respond to, but if I may, there's one thing that I'm totally in agreement with you, and that is the lack of awareness of the people outside the country, as it were, the lack of awareness of the role of language as an economic driver, the lack of acknowledging that everything we do in this country is built on language, on communication. We entered this room today fully positive and assured that communication will take place. And we take it simply for granted, as we take the oxygen in this room for granted that will sustain us while we're in this room. But nothing that takes place in this room and that will emanate from our activities in this room can be isolated from language. And that is what the general public at large and our politicians and our university staff and our legal people and ordinary people take for granted and never really have a distance on the fact that all of this takes place through the medium of communication sustained by translators, mediators, interpreters, text editors, Marlene indexes, people who make dictionaries, etc., etc. If we stop translating, if we stop interpreting, the world will stop. We simply do not understand the impact in the globalized world of mediating between language groups. I always tell my students, there's no way that the D8, when they have their meetings, that they communicate in only one language. They communicate in several languages, and highly paid, very professionally trained interpreters mediate, so that the slightest subtle nuance can be conveyed to the person who is not able to understand a particular language. So, Mr. van der Berg, yes, I fully agree. The next speaker, I'm sorry I did not catch the name, who asked why then the notice text editor and not language editor. My reason is simply that it's become convention to refer to a category of people who fiddle with texts, who smooth the language in a text, would panel beat a text so that that text can be published and be consumed by readers, that that person works with a text, a body of language. The term language editor, in my view, distracts from the generic function of a text editor who could work in several genres of text. So it has become a worldwide tradition, and all our textbooks, that is simply the jargon that we use. And our suggestion is that we just use that in line with the trend. Yes, you also asked about section 412, and if you could please just remind me, you asked how to involve language practitioners, but I couldn't catch what you meant. If you don't mind, sorry.
In the position that practitioners should be involved, you say so. The question is, how do you feel they must be involved?
Okay, so if I remember correctly, the gist was that I was saying we cannot only have bureaucrats involved in the council. Is that what you're asking? And that we appeal to the minister to include in the composition of the board, and we want the grassroots representation. And when I say grassroots representation, is the people who know the profession, the people who know the industry. Now, I know the configuration of the Department of Arts and Culture and the National Language Service very well, and I know that the guys there are also language experts. But the composition that has been proposed, the configuration of members of the board, in our view, is weighted too heavily towards members of government departments and government structures. And we say that is fine, but the guys who really know this beast that we are working with, and that is language facilitation, translation, interpreting, editing, are the people on the ground, the practitioners, the people like me, the people like Marlene and the guys here, who know all the nooks and crannies, and we think that they should, they must be represented. I cannot see us having a go back to a medical council and not include representatives from the medical practitioners, the health sector, who are operating patients, etc. We are operating on texts. we're the surgeons that work with the texts. You also asked, sir, what harm would it do to include lexicographers? Quite frankly, I'm happy to include them personally, but it seems to me as if there is a sentiment that their work normally takes place in a, shall I say, more secure environment, in the sense that they would work for the National Lexicography Unit, for isiZulu. And that is a sort of a language corporate environment, and that they would work in terms of international lexicography trends. Personally, I would include. But I need to say up front that this submission is not my submission. I'm merely the conduit, the voice. I participated in the process, and we invited all our members, more than 800 people. PEG invited them, more than almost 600 members. And we consulted even more widely than that. And this is the consensus from that process. But if you would put a gun to my head, I would say, leave them. Section 312, you refer to the notion of experience, and how should experience come into play? When is that, when we compile the board? If you could just remind me.
You study must be, it must not only be qualification. Experience also must relate to qualification. That is what you said in the presentation. And then my question is, what will be the successful experience and how will it be assessed?
We have not been, we've been followed on how it should be assessed. But that is something that I think is extremely important as you pointed out. Experience shows when a person is asked to do a particular task. Traditionally, customarily, to the best of my knowledge, all accreditation exercises consist of a set of texts that a prospective accreditee would be required to translate. The person would be allowed to take a test, an accreditation test, and that test is aimed at assessing, measuring if you wish, whether a person can do the job. The standard of the text, the level of complexity of the text that is presented to the candidate will be sufficient to assess whether the candidate knows the pitfalls of translation, would know that a text should be cohesive and coherent, would know that punctuation errors are a death sentence, would know that the use of taboo words must be considered, would know that facts must be checked. No one would believe that former President Nelson Mandela was released in 2020. No one would understand or accept that a person's birth date was the 30th of February. And if a translator or a text editor cannot check these almost ordinary stuff, then that person does probably not have the experience or the knowledge or the skills to pass the test. So experience would be checked, and I've really simplified, but just to give you a sense of the types of stuff that we test when we try to assess whether a person is competent. Competency is about knowledge, skills, and skills developed with experience. Having done the job. Then the next person wanted to know, sir, how do we arrive at this 22% that is projected, the percentage that the employment of interpreters and translators would increase? That was based on the trends that the, as we can see there, the U.S. Labor Bureau of Labor Statistics, they issue their statistics. Labor statistics are year-to-year basis. And that is contained in a report of U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics based on the number of registrations of language practitioners in that area, and the demand in the marketplace. So that is a projection that that bureau had made. And it was reported in the U.S. News in 2010, and that is where I got the statistics. Next one. Yes, you addressed our concern regarding the role of the minister. For example, and the department in appointing the members of the board. You wanted me to explain why is that a concern of ours? I think at this juncture in South Africa, where we are acutely aware of the need to democratize activities, democratize even social traditions, democratize our structures. It seems to us to be a fair principle of democracy that the board chooses its leader and is not appointed from outside. The board, being interviewed, having asked to be nominated or nominated by someone else, chosen through a process that shows rigor and integrity, that board should be afforded the dignity of electing its own chairperson and vice chairperson. So it's in our view simply a matter of democracy at work. You asked why level of accreditation was important, and I think I touched on that when I addressed our chairperson's concern, the notion of professionalism. Let me go back and forgive me for going back to the medical profession. We typically distinguish levels of accreditation, so to speak, in the medical profession. We have general practitioners who would certainly not endeavor to do a heart transplant. We would have a gynecologist deliver a baby, specialized, especially if there are complications, etc. So a level of accreditation actually reflects and is a measure of the complexity of the job being done. And yes, it is literally a universal practice that there are various levels of competence and complexity. You also asked about the recognition, or Sir, I think it was you, the recognition, why are we concerned about the lack of recognition of SAATI in the bill? We feel that we have been fairly prominent and active in the field since 1956, that we have a lot of experience, that we are the only representative, comprehensive, non-governmental body, and we are literally the only body in this country that has any experience in accrediting language practitioners. We started in 1991. We accredit translators, interpreters, text editors, Bible translators, terminologists, I hope I've covered everything. Sign language interpreters, we have an agreement with DESA to assist them. We are doing it on their behalf. We've been accrediting text editors on behalf of PEG, who is still in the process of establishing their accreditation process. So we have a range of expertise in doing this job, and it is not easy. It's a highly complicated task. Our accreditation system was based in 1990 when we developed it on the American Translators Association, ATA, system. And we have tweaked and fine-tuned. And we have currently an accreditation committee again working on our accreditation system. So we are simply saying we would love to join hands with the department, the executive arm of government in language matters. We would love to join hands with them and share our expertise in the journey of creating this important body. The grandfather, the grandmother. Perhaps, sir, I could also use the term that was introduced way back when 1990, the sunset clause. We emphasize that setting up an accreditation system cannot take only 2 years. We've been doing it for 30 years, and we are still revamping, we are still tweaking, this is still work in progress. We feel that 2 years might just be a little ambitious. So we propose that the sunset clause perhaps be revisited so that if we are able to join hands with our Department of Arts and Culture, that we can walk a journey that will inevitably be longer than 2 years in setting up this, this system. And that takes me, Madam Chair, to Ms. Marlene Rose's suggestion of including indexing as a profession. Again, the bill is not clear on that, and I'm sure, Mrs. Rose, that this will be taken into consideration when the bill is revamped or revised. Madam Chair, I hope I did justice to the questions.
I think your time is over. Remember, we have time due. And thank you so much for the submission. Remember, there's nothing wrong. We are not supposed to answer what we must
agree on, because remember, submission from the public is what we add to the bill and what is being added, you know, especially after that. Okay, thank you. I hope you won't be easy also to listen to the. I'm going to be here for the next 2 days.
I will be here. Thank you.
Members, can we just break for 15 minutes? 10 to 15 minutes? And then I'm saying 15, I see there's a lot of other bathrooms are only three. So, and then the tea outside. And the next person we're presenting when we come back is Mr. Kolisa Jongolo. Is he here? Are you ready? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, members. I think while we're taking a break, to our staff members, can we just check other rooms? Okay, thank you. I'm a girl.
Thank you. No, Thank you.
uyatavuma. Lena, you could be too deep in there. But what I'm saying is that good demand is a lender,
Thank you.
I'm serious. I think it's time that I learned those two languages. You'll never know me, I'll get a husband in the room. But the problem, they eat too much pap. Language unit, why did you start to say anything? None of you. Just an honest question. Why did you start me some? All of you. Oh, they're members of us. Also, you represent them. But it doesn't work like that. All day. Then it's fine. Kavita? Thanks.
Mandy, you will never pull who has planned the cost. Mandibulisa kakhulu ke kusihlalo lentlanganiso wale komiti namalungu akhe nakwamanye amalungu akhoyo alapha phakathi kwethu ubulisa kakhulu nakumntu wonke nje okhoyo phakathi kwethu ndisenza umbulelo ongazenzisiyo ukuba sileli qumrhu sinikwe elithuba lokuba sivakalise uluvo lwethu ngalo mthetho ubaluleke kangaka andake noba bitshi uzafuna ngane
bitshi ten azohlala becanga sisiwa so that I think it would be easier so that because I think it would be easier if you are sitting next to him. I'm not sure. Okay.
Sibulela kakhulu eli thuba ke silinikweyo into yokuba sizawuvakalisa uluvo lwethu ngalo mthetho ubaluleke kangaka sike olwethu uluvo alungakanani ingeyo nto itheni ngamazwi ombulelo ovuyo.
Firstly, greetings to the chairperson of the committee, the honorable members, and all everybody, ladies and gentlemen who are in the hub and the organizations that are present here with the submissions. We as this organization are very thankful for the opportunity that has been given to us to come and share our views in this very important piece of legislation.
Ufike kanye ngexesha elihle kakhulu apho ilizwe lisale bhakadani lizama ukumisa iziso zomthetho wokusetyenza kweelwimi zaseburhulenteni lapho le komiti yenu ithe yenza umsebenzi ophuma izandla ngendlela enqanisayo.
In our opening remarks, let us start by saying this piece of legislation came just at the right time when in the country were busy coming up with the means of ways and of implementing the usage of official languages.
Ngokungathanda kusiyo, iliso lokhozi uxhasa ngokupheleleyo lo mthetho lithi besele kukudala kakade inkukhu ijamelele nokhozi. Uliwonga elingenakulinganiswa kosozilimi belizwe ukumiliselwa kwalo mthetho.
With no doubt, iliso lokhozi is very thankful with this piece of legislation which is long overdue. We were very longing for such an opportunity. And this is a very good honor to us as the organization, as well as the language practitioners.
Amadoda angqama iintsapho zawo namanina ashiye iintsapho zikhala aphuma ayokulweleliswa.
This is a clear indication that this how committed we are in this country in terms of languages. This shows that this country is committed in implementing the objectives of our democracy that we fought for so hard and others paid with their sweat and blood for the kind of democracy that we are enjoying today.
Kunamhlanje nje sina sithe gqobo ebhotolweni sidla kumarhiwa luhlaza sisela kwimithombo ephilileyo ngenxa yegazi lawo ndibeke ingxe kuloo ndawo ndingadanga ithunuke yomntu bethu.
Today we are enjoying the benefits their blood and their sweat and blood. We do as it pleases, we enjoy ourselves, but I don't want to dwell on that before I take some of aspects down memory lane. We have great confidence in this committee that this committee is going to do a sterling work. As we have seen previously, we are very committed, we trust that this committee is very committed in doing a sterling work. We hope it's not going to disappoint us.
Into as fun no never understand. As the Lambo call, as it's all your pumpkins, it will be music too. I come back down as long as you call. Someone got a few music too. Which is then my fun and then I. Who must have been saying, I think I'm going to call one. Who called me for one and I was a script. Who is going to be music too? The hammer and the other feet. In where it's called. The Lambo call, then I'll follow away too.
It is just unfortunate that this opportunity came at the time that we have lost one of our language vigilants, the late Professor Neville Alexander. May his soul rest in peace. He would not rest when seeing something that goes wrong when it comes to languages. He was like an eagle keeping an eye on the usage of the respect and the dignity accorded to the languages of our country.
Sisithi kungelishwa kananjalo into yokuba ufika sele gongazele ngecala into ezomadiba uyemyemngolo msila ufako olumadolo lasequnu intambende yokutyela mavelithi wena wathi zihlabana ngenxa yendlala leziphosele ikatshenikatshe nopho uqhakapha udlala abantwana walurhola ihlahla lwavule kuhlango lwabathakathi sikatho sakatshola saqanyotsilijokwe kuba sizine iitribi zethu xa sitshoyo ke sithi maluphakame igqubelide
It is once more unfortunate or most unfortunate that this did come at the time when the father of our nation, Madiba, is lying on his hospital bed. He is no longer active to participate in such activities and is the one who would do everything in his power to make sure that justice is done to whoever and in whatever form. May he beat the sickness or the illness that is keeping him in bed.
Kananjalo, Vanda got to this local sense of Bulla Longa and see who all the Kuku are attacking a ever, a long tattoo. Lens and Bulla and a local man over the sheep. Oba at the civic special of Bulland away to I tatted over an hour at a lane, Madame.
As I've already indicated that I'm very thankful to the oppositions that are participating in this process, and that also indicated that we have confidence in the committee. We are very happy that this day has been decided upon. And it's also an honor and great respect to the language practitioners that they get this kind of recognition.
In Jongo, I don't know what to do. The guy is a guy. I think I'm going to go to the school. I can't go. I can't go. But I'm going to go to the school. The guy is a guy. I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to go to the school. I'm going to go to
The objectives of this legislation are very clear. It is not to be dealt with that much. We might lose the direction should we deal with them or interrogate them too much. There are just a few kind of inputs that we would like to make, though.
Zonke ke inkulu zomlilisela nophakamiso lolwimi zesizwe zasoloko ingakumbi ulwimi lwesifundla sisengelwa phansi zasoloko zineendleko ekuyenza loo nto into leyo ithi idala imikhinqi kufezekiso lokumele ukwenziwa.
One of the objectives of trying to all the means of trying to implement and promote language, especially those languages which were previously disadvantaged, there are always cost implications which made somebody or someone to be reluctant when it comes to implementation.
Sitsho sisithi ke ulwimi sisixhobo esibalulekileyo kakhulu kulawulo lwentando yesininzi
kwaye alinako ukushiywa ngasemva xa kuthiwa kuphethwe inkululeko nolawulo lwentando yesizwe. Kwaye ngumba ofuna imbalasele banzi nokuzinikela kwesizwe, hayi ukuthetha nje ngomlomo. When it comes to language, language is very important when we are in a democratic society like ours. It needs not to be undermined. It also needs to be promoted because it's part of democracy. And that does not only need lip service, it needs commitment from everybody, including our society as well.
Lapho ufuneka khona kanye ke lo mthetho njengomkhombandlela nesikhokhelo kwabasebenza ngolwimi.
A language needs to be preserved and nurtured, and the people to do that are the practitioners who are involved. They do need the guideline though. That's why this piece of legislation is very good and correct product to help them, to give them a kind of a guideline.
Sithi thina kwelasemaXhoseni ungafanelanga nje ube nayo imbewu neenkawu namakuba, kodwa abelimi ungenabo akukho nokuyenza. Abalimi ke kule meko kusozwini abafuna lo mthetho.
From my isiXhosa clan, we say you might have your seeds, the plowing instruments, but with no man who would be working on the plowing field, that's useless. In this case, our man who will be working on the blind field are language practitioners.
Ukukho balo mthetho ke kuza kunika isidima esibafaneleyo osozilwini kwakunye neprofession yabo. Sithi ke wuntu ke ngokuba osozilwini beli nabo bade bakhunjulwe liko wethu eli.
This kind of a bill will give the language practitioners recognition and the dignity they deserve to do their job with confidence.
Ngenxa yokuba ilizwi lethu ke lasoloko likhala ngemali xa kusulelwa kwimiba yolwimi nokusetyenziswa kwemithetho nemigaqo yolwimi ekoyo, kukho umngcipheko siwubonayo thina ukuba lo mthetho ngase uphunyezwe nje uze kujika uqhushekwe phantsi kwelitya kuthiwe akho mali yokumilisela izimiso zabo. Sikhalabile ngaloo nto kakhulu.
Because there are always complaints about the cost implication when it comes to implementation of the languages, we have a fear and a concern that this process can be concluded and be passed, but at the end, no implementation. We are very concerned about that.
Uthintela ukutshaka lobunjalo ke sililiso lokozi thina silixhasa ngempeleleyo lacandelo lamashumi amane ananye elithi ke limisa ixesha leminyaka emibini. Nangona sisazi nje uba elo xesha sanoba lincinci, kodwa sithi lilungile khona kodwa kuqoshelwe kukhawulezwe.
As we are saying that we as this organization we support session 41 which refers to the time or duration which is 2 years. As much as one would think 2 years is a very short time, but we also feel that it's also good that would speed up the process.
Ngoba ke kunceda ntoni ukulula imihla sesiphinde sibuye kamva sifuna ukwandisela ixesha kwakho. Izinto zide qala umbethe xa yokulula kwemihla zingenzeki.
What will it help to grant people a longer period, and then after that they also have some extension, and at the end that would make the process fade in one's mind of importance? We don't want that to happen.
Sithi ke mafinyezwe imikhono kubhinqelwe phezulu kulekho eli xesha liphanyiswa ngumthetho. Iyawuthi uba yaqaka ke loo nto ibone uba mayithuni na kwelaa kuthiza amaxhoseni kuthiwa amaqhobokazana akalali endleleni kakade.
We say therefore the 2 years period is correct. That will make people to pull up their socks and speed up everything within that frame of time. They need not to lie down or to beat around. In my language, we believe that working women do not sleep along the road. Should that happen, that spells danger.
alinanto yimbi izanayo ngokusingisa lo mthetho. Yinkuthazo nemibulelo nokubekwa umnwe umba ukuba lo mthetho sele uphantsi ukushiywa ixesha. Ngabo oko izimiso zawo
masiqhathakaliswe okwabazingele besizincele kodwa ke singakwakho ukusikhwekisa nkwenkwe kubahleze phile sisiqange neso.
Therefore, this, in my organization, we say we have nothing more to say, we are just full of gratitude and encouragement to the committee that this work should be speed up. We should try to speed up everything and that everything should be done in accordance as much as we need that it to be expedited. Everything should be done in accordance. We should not just do a rush work.
Singathi cwaka kuba sisithi siyahambisana umthetho ngokuthi cwaka hleze kusuke kwande abakhasi iphethe ingaphelele yonke semasofalisa nje inkxaso yethu ke thina siliso lokhosi.
That is why we as this organization decided to come up just to voice out our words of supporting and encouraging this process, because by keeping quiet maybe that would increase the number of enemies or the opposition to this process. We are only here to work out our support and encouragement.
The team has many many of them away to. The problem is they've been missing too. Not to be immediate. Tell you this, let me introduce you. Now let me say again. Kukua, no kuma kwa alo, ilize. It's a bandit day. As it's bandit, I'm being my way to strong and bandit. It's been your time, and it's a new Canela. It's a squad with the middle. That's okay.
We say just grab this opportunity with both hands. Let us work together with the practitioners. We must join hands. These languages belong to us. This country belongs to us. And the time belongs to us. Let us grab the opportunity with both hands so that should there be danger, you must also have a hand to ward off the danger. Whilst you are holding on with the other hand. Thank you.
I never had such a deep, fluent call in my life. Thank you from Indiso Local. Thanks. I think I must thank you for submission as well, Mr. Chongolo. You touched my heart when you spoke about Professor Neil Alexander. He was very passionate about languages. I've met him quite a few times. And I think I remember when he was presenting at a South African Languages Bill. Yeah, there he made his mark, and I've never seen a person who was very passionate about it. And I think I had the honor as well to speak when he consulted his own institution as well. I see you are saying your submission, I think on the page, page 2, that this is next to you now. Disturbing me. Oh, you're saying you did not add anything in respect of the bill except to propose time frames and implementation and the regulations of the bill. Maybe just out of interest, maybe what time frames do you think? We broaden it a little bit to say that what time frames I'm saying are you speaking about? And further to say that and the implementation of the regulation bill. I just want to just a little submission as well on why you're saying that, so that we can be in depth. Remember, whatever that you are proposing here is something that we as members have to discuss, especially with Ntombi and other people. So that I think if you give it enough broader, then we'll have an understanding to say this is what you submitted, you know. Because if you give it on a line like that, then we don't know when to speak about time frame specifically. What are you saying? What are you talking about? I think you understand my question. Maybe if you can still say here, it's fine. But I will ask one of the members now to raise the questions. Are there any members of the media? None. Hey, well, lucky. Okay. Nikki? It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. ABS African job.
Secondly, I also want to suggest that you should also keep in touch with the government and be close so that you can be clear about all the activities and what is happening so that you can come up with your suggestions in time.
So I just want to highlight that one. I just please, my one is not actually a question, it's a comment. Because I feel the same as you feel in that paragraph. And it's what we always say in the committee. We pass many, many budgets. But when it comes to implementation of that budget, and it comes back to the committee, then you don't actually see what you actually approve the results. And I think that is the results what we want to see when we pass a legislation. Because the next 5 years, we are not some gomas. We can't see what will happen in the next 5 years. Will we be coming from the Tapana? Will we be coming back to Parliament or not? But when we leave next year, after the election, we must make sure that really what we must put in place is really being implemented. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I want to thank the presenter for this short presentation. I think Honorable Moses partially covered me, but I'm looking on the concerns about the funding. And the bill on article page 24, 20 and 4, they speak about the current fund of the department in terms of the medium-term expenditure framework. I see the presenter is not very sure whether the medium-term expenditure framework will actually cover this bill. But this is what is in the bill that really we have to take in that it will cover. And just like what the previous speaker has said, there must be, we are watchdogs of all the what's happening in Parliament and also the departmental staff to make sure that what is written here about the financial implications actually takes place. and also about the reluctance of what you are saying here, that the previous disadvantaged languages, so government always, because of the implications of funding, does not take it through. You know, when we are here, we are being, we were representatives of you people and the public. And I think it will have, for you know, in particular, that is previously disadvantaged languages. You say it's because government could be reluctant because of the cost implications that could lead to reluctance on the part of government to do that which is necessary. What is it that you think as an organization? That because this is a transformatory bill, which we're all looking forward to see to be, that something to happen that will help us, help government coming. That's why we've got public hearings. Or what is it that you think could really accelerate the use of disadvantaged languages? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ma'am Felix. Ngiyabonga mhlonishwa sihlalo, ngibonge nakwiso lokhozi eselisinikeze inkulumo ehlabusile kathi. Kodwa-ke ake ngibuze uliso lokhozi ukuthi yini abesifazane bebekweceleni kade thamonda nje thamonda amadoda amanye uzukulu inyanga yethu le iyodwa nje ey'nyangeni eziwu-12 zonke eziwu-11 ezeni besilisa yini kodwa umona ngoba nabo babekhona besifazane lapho babekhona namanje siyacela ukuthi singabekwe eceleni ngoba sazabalaza nathi. Sazabalaza nangokuletha nina amadoda, nisakwazi lokho. Nikhona nje kungenxa yomntu wesifazane. Sizake isolokhu sibekeni nathi. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to thank the presenter for this
robust presentation that she gave into the committee on behalf of the congregation. But my concern is that he mentioned and praised people who happen to be males. I just want to know, is there any reason for him to discriminate against women or not to mention women in his appraisals? Because we had women who were participating in the struggle in those days, and even today, our first struggle was even to give birth to the men that also participated that he praised today. Maybe he forgot that he is, that's part of our struggle, that's why he is here even today. I'm just pleading with that, that he should also give recognition to women as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to thank the person for the presentation, and I'm very glad that so many languages get involved in this whole language practitioners bill, and we must keep this way forward. And it should be wonderful if all the language groups were sitting here and telling from their side. You know, the history of South Africa is full of we tell you or you tell me what to do. And I think that's very important. And I also want to thank you for all the inputs, but please follow this bill in the corridors of Parliament like the eyes of a hawk. Because it's your bill, it's your profession. Long after I've died, then this will be still on the, will be legislation, and it will be protect your rights, all the other young practitioners' rights. Please look after this bill and give input. If you see it's not going well, say something. Talk to the chairperson. We are not the law that put on the stamp at the end. It's your bill. And I think that's the importance of this, this public hearings. And we can't do this all by ourselves. Ownership, that's correct, take ownership. And remember, I once heard Roger Whittaker sang a song, and he said, what's the definition of politicians? Therefore, I urge you not to to trust politicians. He said, politicians are like a bunch of bananas. They hang together, but they don't stick together. Thank you.
I think as language practitioners, I like what Leveny said at the end, that this is your bill. We need to follow it up. You know, even if you made the submission or not, but I think it's one of the most important issues that we have to take it up. Baba, now I'm going to give you for 10 winners against those are you. Thank you.
Thank you. Malunga namakhosikazi ndinendikhethekileyo endiyibekele amakhosikazi elizwe lakwethu namhlanje khabe ndinexhala lexesha likasihlama ndicinga ukuba for ihlobo zile usihlama ngale makandixolele ndiwufunde lo mbongo bendinendawuvula ngawo apha osingise makhosikazi elizwe. You are the woman of South Africa. You are the woman of our country. You are the woman of our nation. Niyimbokodo eyadidizizwe, niyimbokodo eyasutshaba, niyimbokodo yohlanga, niyimbokodo yesizwe. Nikukuhle besizwe, nilikhaya lesizwe, nilibhongo lesizwe, nililifa lesizwe. Yes, you are the woman of substance. Ningumnombo wesizwe, ningumnombo wohlanga. Ningekho nina akukho sizwe, ningekho nina akukho hlanga. Yes, you are the woman of our nation. You are the woman, you are the strength. You are the woman, you are the power. You are the woman, you are the nation. You are the woman, you are everything. Yes, I mean everything. Homes are no homes without you. Families are no families without you. Men are no men without you. Nothing is anything without you. Nation is no nation without you. Insika yesizwe. Insika yohlanga. Insika yomzabalazo. Insika yenkuleko. Ewe, ndijokuni zimasezimabele male. Ndijokuni mazizezwela kowethu. You've shown your courage during the evil time, when your voice became one voice, a voice heard across the globe, a voice heard across cultures, a voice heard across languages, a voice stayed on couldn't accept. A voice evil regime couldn't tolerate. A voice that tear apart the past. Yes, that was the woman of our nation. You've shown your courage in our democracy when you occupied different positions of power, when you agitated powerful forces, when you participated in economic building, when you participated in political stabilization, because you are the woman of power. This is the day of your dedication. This is the day of your achievement. This is the day of your existence. This is the day of your courage. This is the day of your resoluteness. I say long live women, long live. Long live mothers, long live. Long live sisters, long live. Long live girls, long live. Amanda to the woman. Ngethemba ke lokuba ndimxolisi lomama noko.
Nangona ubaxolisi loo mama bendizawuthi na uyilahlile kodwa uzethi ndingawugqibela. Ndiyavuma ngoku.
Oh, other women must comment. Thank you. Qhubeka mntu to our time is going down.
Kuko kakhulu ke xa ndithetha ngexesha namalunga ne-implementation ndithetha ngento yoba ixesha eli funeka uba siligade ngoba kunento yokuba siphumeze imithetho. Sijike inyabe ukuyilandelela. Ihlala ixesha elide ingade yenze nto isuke ibe nothuli kwiishelufa zethu. Ndizama ukuthi le nto yoba imithetho enje xa siyenza siyazi into yokuba siyikophelela kunye nemali ukuze ngabikho singqengqezo sokuba akukho mali iyakuphumela. Sisitsho sithi siyaxhasa elaa xesha libekwe kwakodwa kwisithuba seminyaka emibini sabe upasisiwe lo mthetho funeka elibhunga libe khona. Kanti enoba ngade funa ngafandisa ixesha kwaba kulungile kodwa malingandisa kube mayibe ngeminyaka emine mhlawumbi. Sisuke silibala endleleni njengetshile umama abanye benu bangabuyeli esikuithabeke bayithwale loo nto.
Referring to the time frames that I referred to, the time frames and the implementation, I meant that the 2 years is correct, we have no problem with that. But what we are saying is that if we say 2 years, we should be strict and make sure that the work that needs to be done in 2 years is done. It should not have been just done and left there to gather dust. Yes, I understand we indicated that the board should start working in 2 years after the passing of this piece of legislation, as one of the members correctly indicated that maybe after 5 years, some of you might not be here, but we should make sure that everything that we agreed upon that needs to be implemented within the 2 years should be implemented and not just to be done and put aside to gather dust.
Okwesibini ke uba umthiqala uthi masingabi liliso nje kuphela masizizo nendlebe layo ndiyathatha olo luvo ilise kwisigaba sethu into yokuba litha ingqalelo ngoba ke iliso lokhozi lijonge lile lemboniselweni abonisa ngayo uba ngubani owenza ntoni ngolwimi lwesixhosa bangasixhasa ulwimi lwesixhosa ukuze lisondelekwe lithethane naye ukuze enze okufanelekileyo. Ndizama ukuthi siligqiza eligade amalungelo olulwimi lwethu.
On the input regarding the name of Phyllis Olokozi referring remaining the eye of the eagle, I take the input that has been suggested that it should be the eye and the ears of the eagle. I'll take that to my organization because the truth says that we are the hawk, we are like the hawk which we are keeping an eye about the implementation and how our language are being treated and promoted. If we find any fault, we go close to the person who have committed the fault and rectify that mistake when it comes to languages with specific attention to its cause.
Kumba okuyelelekwa kulowo kuqala omalunga kwanexesha akube kubuzwa into yokuba sicebisa ntoni thina. Sithi thina ukuze kwazi ukwenzeka izinto makubekwe iliso kwimigaqo ephunyezwayo ukutsho oko ilandelelwe ukuqinisekisa into yoba iziliso zawo yenziwa na okunene. Ayivunyezwe nje yabekwa ba. Ayikho into yogqibela uba kubekwa iliso. Enokuba umthetho uphunyeziwe kwathi kanti kwiindawo ezishiyekeleyo ezibangela uba ungakwazi ukuthotyelwa okanye usetyenziswe ezo zinto manje baziliswe ukuze zilungiswe. Sidiyileyo thina indlela ekunokuqinisekiswa ngayo into yokuba imithetho ayiliba ayitshitshe endleleni uba makubekwa iliso ilandelele.
On the question regarding our suggestion in terms of the time frame, all we are saying that the time frame that has been suggested is correct, but all we are saying is that it should be, or there should be some kind of monitoring and oversight, and make the point that all the regulations that has been finalized, that needs implementation, should be implemented. It's no use for us just to finalize regulations and nobody is taking care of the monitoring and the oversight.
Kumba omalunga nelimi ezasifudulwa zisengelwa phantsi kwelizwe. Sithi kubalulekile into yokuba zixhaswe kwaye nokungabanzi isandla kuba kuthiwakho mali yokuba zixhaswe. Umzekelo, uma ubuthetha isitonga lakhe makasifumane ithuba loba akwazi ulithetha ulwimi lwakhe akhululeke ngalo, kungabikho zinto zibekwa zibe kumqobo ngoba kuzawuthiwa ewe ulwimi lwakho lomthetho likumgaqoseko kodwa ufumane into yoba awukwazi ukulisebenzisa ulwimi lwakho ukuba akwenziwa into yoba mazibekho indlela zibangokusebenzisa. Umzekelo, kubekho itoliki ukwazi ukuthi ukhululekile ngolu lwimi uthetha ngalo, kungabikho mqobo. So sithi kwimicimbi enjalo yokuqiniseka into yoba ezi lwimi zazisengelwa phantsi zigadiwe mazilandelelwe kwaye iitoliki zithathelwe phezulu zibe khona ngamaxesha onke kuze ngabikho mntu uthi ekhululekile kodwa angakhululeki.
On the issue of the previously disadvantaged languages, we are saying that all languages should be respected and afforded the equal opportunity. If somebody wants to speak in Isitsonga, there should be an interpreter provided for that person. There should be no excuse of budgetary constraints. The budget should be there for whenever there's a need to hire an interpreter that would be helping somebody wants to speak a language of his or her choice, that should be catered for. It's no use that we pass the laws and yet we don't implement them and there's no monitoring or oversight over the implementation.
Ngoba umzekelo kuyonto ukuthi ulwimi lwakho lusemthethweni okanye lapha ekurhulenteni kodwa bengaliboni indawo ekurhulenteni lukho nje ngomlomo lolwimi ndingathi lulwimi oluqinzelekileyo kodwa ngendlela ephucukileyo ke mhlawumbi.
It's no use to say a language is an official language and yet that language cannot be used by the people who want to use it. In other words, we can say that the language is official but still suppressed. That may be an official suppressed language, so something which is not good.
Kumba ke okumalunga ke namanina ndicinga sendiwuqaphule kwa ndiyaqala ngawo apho bendisithi xa sithetha ngamadela akufa elizwe libandakanya wonke umntu owaphumayo ushiya iintsana zakhe omnye washiya umyeni esiyokubeleli lizwe engoko sendigqabazile la mbongo ndicinga uba noko ndiyibehlile le ngoko.
On the issue of women, I think I've already started to say it, because when we talk about the stalwarts and the heroes of our country or of the struggle, we refer to every individual, being a man, being a woman, we refer to each and every individual who participated. But that already demonstrated the poem which I specially prepared for women. I've already recited it.
Othi kubalulekile into yokuba lo mthetho singathi ngowenu sithi ngowethu nathi ze ngaloo ndlela sithathe uxanduva loba siwulandelele siqinisekise into yokuba konke okulungileyo ngawo kuyenziwa nokuthi ke ndalibulela ndayibulela lo mkutha sibathembisa kananjani into yokuba siza kuba lizinye eliqaqambayo kusihlalo wale komiti kumile nalo. Enkosi.
On the input from the old man regarding the ownership of this bill, we take that input really in truth that this should not be the business of the committee. We should take ownership of it as practitioners. We'll be a neighbor to the chairperson of the committee when it comes to the issue of languages. We respect the words coming from an old man. When I say the old man, that the kind of respect that I accord to the honorable members, we regard your advice with with whatever high proximity or regard that we can give to your suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebonga. Thank you so much for the presentation. wish I'd got closer, like, to do a ticket at some stage. I was confused. So I said, I'm going to go for a submission today, and then okay. And you're going to say this is one as well, and tomorrow we'll appreciate it if you move up on the foot as you listen to other submissions as well. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate it. But I think it's easier with you. No, I think if I must come and sit here, because I think it's what do they call it? So that we can be able to look at you, you know. I think when you look at a person in the face, it's much easier. So some tell us you. And then we say about next to Babu Chitail. And then... Okay.
Need for professional and accredited sign language services interpreting and others. It was absolutely wonderful to hear your presentation. Okay. This mission is also particularly concerned with to bring accredited training and the need for accredited training for the registration and accreditation of interpreters, for the registration and accreditation of sign language interpreters, a code of conduct, and professional organizations that will protect the sign language interpreter on the one hand and the public on the other. These issues have been raised already. This mission also suggests that by opening up these opportunities for professional South African sign language interpreters, it's possible to contribute to some of these issues that are raised in the introduction to this bill, provide and encourage the provision of opportunities for persons, especially from disadvantaged communities, to enter and participate in a language industry in the Republic, and to contribute to an enabling environment for job creation in the language industry in the Republic. There's plenty of work out there, but we just need training and we just need the accreditation. And I'd also like to not to forget issues of relay interpreting. I won't deal with it now, but there are issues sometimes when people are not necessarily a first language speaker from birth in sign language, for instance. We need relay interpreters into the dialect. And I think this is possible in some other areas as well where people learn the second interpreting language as a second language. That makes sense, okay. About the submission draws on our findings of a long-term project which aims to address language barriers in healthcare. We've been piloting a South African sign language interpreter project and we've only used those who trained. Accreditation's not yet happening, but we would not use anyone who can't show some kind of certification of an accredited training. Otherwise, we don't know. And we found that it was very interesting to start. Nobody really knew what we were talking about. The healthcare staff on the one hand, and the deaf people on the other. The deaf people were actually a little bit suspicious because they had never had somebody who really had a code of conduct. And they weren't sure people weren't would be hold dear or confidential the things that they would say. So it started off quite slowly. Now we can't cope. So it has certainly been acceptable, very much so, from the health professional point of view, and very much so on the basis of the deaf people. And in a sense, we started off with 4 or 5 a month. We're now having 4 or 5 a day, and that's a lot for a full service that we can cope with. Okay. And the project responded to this ever-increasing need and a very limited supply. So we've got some novel services that we do. For instance, in certain situations, we work very well with our eye clinic at Curtis Care. And on a regular day, every month, we apply a interpreter, and then deaf people have a bulk estimate that goes out to say the interpreter will be there, and we meet them and they come, because you must realize that eyes are absolutely vital to deaf people. If they lose their eyesight, then they've lost language and a range of things. So, and that's worked very well. I don't think there's one anywhere else. People have picked it up and they've, you know, thought it was a very good idea. So we've been piloting the training of medical interpreters, sign language interpreters, and we've been piloting using our deaf clinic assistants. That eye clinic that we run once a month and have been doing so for the past few years is run entirely by our deaf staff. They keep a record, they do everything. And they are vital in our service because they assist the interpreter. They say to deaf people need somebody from security onwards, right through the services. And we could also do something about our signage in the hospital, but that's another story. So the submission is made with National Health Insurance in view. This is going to be district-based healthcare services. So currently we're publishing such a project and evaluating a model that would be health district-based. And it would be free to patients, just like doctors, nurses, social workers. And it would also be, what else have I got here? Okay, it would, depending on the size of your health district or population, the numbers of interpreters would serve the district. You can't have a sign language interpreter at every single institution, but they can serve a district very well. So, so these kinds of populations like deaf people, they don't, you don't know when they're going to arrive. So you've got to have a relationship, in a sense, with the services that you're working with, and so that's the way you're able to get your service going. The staff for this model would include salaried, accredited, trained sign language interpreters, deaf staff, and both sets of staff will become part of a district health team. The service we would offer would be the usual for the individual, as well as for our cluster service, which we call our eye service. We could do that in a number of other situations, and some of the staff are very interested to work with us in other situations where you would get the deaf people on one day, a month or so, and be able to offer the service. I just want to make sure, just these last few points to make, that a professional interpreting service in healthcare is a public health issue. Professor Duke has mentioned one of her students in 1997. Well, I've got a range of about 10 or 12 references here that have been saying the same thing since 1999, right through until now. It is not easy to express yourself in another language when you're ill. And we forget, you know, that children who don't speak English are getting health care in the language that they don't understand. They're getting injections, they're getting examinations, and it's very scary. So these kinds of things we've got to start looking at. And the interpreting needs are urgent. And what we also focus on deaf people sometimes is their language, their needs are serious. And because their language is different than that it is a visual and not necessarily the same as our spoken languages, they are a group that we can work with, and they will also throw light on other second language English speakers. And importantly, interpreting and translation services are a human rights issue. There is no access to justice, healthcare, anything without having your own language. I don't think so. I don't know how I would manage if I wasn't English speaking. I just admire and envy people who speak other languages. And if I didn't, I don't know how I would do anything. My bank, by getting a train, shopping, nothing. So the South African entrenches our right of access to healthcare on the basis of equality and freedom from any form of unfair discrimination on a number of grounds, including race, gender, disability, and language. The South African National Health, the Patients' Rights Charter, we are signatories to the Convention on the Rights of People with Disability. Yet, access is a key there, and for deaf people, access and sign language is key. Advocate Pillay has argued many years ago, in 1999, that if we're serious about realizing the right of access to non-discriminatory healthcare on the basis of equality, then professional translation and interpreting services must become common practice. There's much on paper. We have wonderful constitution, the best in the world. We have wonderful policies. It's just getting realized. And we work in the Health and Human Rights Program at the University of Cape Town School of Public Health. And that is actually what we try to do, is to realize the right of access to healthcare, that people actually see this in their everyday practice. I'm not sure of my time, but we've got some notes. We've also, because we were such, there were so few medical sign language interpreters. And from 2010 onwards, we started to pilot a project. All I do is coordinate it and try to find accredited interpreting courses and accredited interpreting sign language. And it's also a theory and practice, and we've organized for, and it is very much on people who have the skills, who perhaps did not have the advantage of a good education, but have everything that it takes here. And we think in this notion, I think it's a very good one that we have in South Africa, this notion of lifelong learning. So you can collect your credits if they are,
contract for accredited at NQS over time and build up. So that's the kind of model that we're looking at. But we are not an accredited. All we've done is pilot this, with four trainees. We have one graduate, we have one intern, and we have two on the way. But we will, whatever, we can hand over our ideas to that. But we can't carry on. We're hoping that DESTA will take it up. Cost is obviously always an issue. But we've been asked to cost our service. It's the first sort of teeny, weeny, weeny little interest. And because on the basis of our experiences, interpreters save time. They save stress and strain in the services. The pharmacists want one, and so we hope in time we should be able to demonstrate, well, people feel that they save money, feel that they save time, and we should certainly hopefully be able to demonstrate that. That's all. I just hope and support this bill as a consumer very, very much. Issues of how to accredit, how to register, I leave to the experts. But you're very right, the medical profession has lots of useful things that I watch and how they're professionalized. Another thing I wanted to say to you was, if I may point to your concern for the grassroots professional that I call them, I think professionalization is a process. In the same that nurses started off, not necessarily accredited, but over time they've become their doctors too. So we couldn't do without those kind of people who are there. But I think in time, a professionalism will take over. That would be much. Yes, thank you.
That was it. I bet it's true. I mean, you did your research and your work. I can say that. And members will ask questions. I saw all of us nodding most of the time we were speaking. And all of us were just nodding. And what I want to say, all these bills also educate us as well, because when you make your submissions, we are also from learning from our part as well. One of the members' questions. And I must say, I still make a submission, I say, all of the members of Parliament, it's long overdue, they must start learning the sign language. We always have a challenge. I was embarrassed last time I was in Soweto. No one could help a man throw money out of the ATM because he was singing. I myself was just putting help. I was helpless, and also the with banks who don't have those services and all of them. So it was, I said to members this time, and who said will help us with them? I think it was the deaf day. Yeah, they, well, I'm still waiting for them.
You were very good. Language,
thank you so much. Members, I know I'm looking at the time. You didn't have your lunch. Are you there tomorrow, brother?
No,
okay. Honourable Van Stavik, Honourable Van Baer, members. Okay, can you start the
conversation? Yeah, thank you. No, I just want to say, if one agrees, then you don't ask questions. And thank you very much for your presentation, and we fully agree with what you said.
But your agreement must be money on the table.
Okay. Honourable Van Baer?
I just want to add that what you said about the medical profession and everything, it's so true on many other fields. You can go on and mention them. Can you imagine if you go to the garage and you are a deaf person and you want to try and to tell the mechanic what's wrong with your car? You understand? You know, there's so many, and phone the, or go to the municipality and tell them what's wrong with your electricity bill. What do you do?
Okay, can I just take all the questions? Honourable Jukai, your hand was up.
On page 5, the last paragraph, professional rating says in healthcare. Page 1, professional interpreting services in healthcare are a public health issue. Now,
It says there is roughly there are up to 80% of consultations in healthcare are carried out across language. Could you elaborate a bit on to your percentage issue? What do you mean about 80% of consultations? To me, it's a little bit broad. It says a lot, but if you had time, what would you probably put more in?
If you go through a...
Is there any other member?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm a member. So when did you start learning English?
For my
benefit. Oh, now the brains are big. Oh, okay.
Look, these percentages are global kind of things. The actual practice in healthcare is probably far more uneven. You would probably find nurses in some situations who are able to talk to the patient. The doctor might not be able to speak isiXhosa. The pharmacist. So it's uneven in terms of how language happens in the services. But overall, we should be able to get our medicine and to get our healthcare in the language in which we understand. I think that I just feel I couldn't be explaining myself in another language if I had to. How do you say pain? Sometimes it's a sharp pain or a dull pain or a hip pain or a nearly pain. Those kind of things are the terms that we use in our own language. The language we use when we're angry or emotional. The language that you speak to your loved one is always your first language. You listen. You to your children. Your partner, it's always in your first language. It's the language Neville Alexander, I'm a big fan too. It's the language you dream in, the language that you're able to be yourself in. And those are the languages we need. Everybody should have that kind of access. I'm getting a bit emotional here about
languages.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't want to say
Doctor, are you married?
No.
That's why I'm asking. Because since you went behind Mike, I can see you can't control himself. Remember to say, if you've got money for Lobola, then it's fine, we'll negotiate. Members, any other question? Another question? No comment. Okay. Thank you. No, not today. We are rushing now. The bell about to ring, and the bell that says we will be on time. But I must say thank you for the submission. Actually, we are more educated on this because I must say some things we are learning them as the submission. I'm not happy though that you are not coming tomorrow. Is any of your members that coming tomorrow?
Well, I've
been in the newspaper,
and then I got my written submission in on Friday, so we can make a plan.
Yeah, even if it's one or two, especially because we after some meetings, today we took a bit longer, but it's fine, we are hectic on submissions, and the department is here, the state of health is here. Advocate Gordon, where is it? Oh, one thing. And then we take the submissions and then we'll deliberate on the submissions. And I had a few questions beyond, but not on that. But now the bells will be ringing. Remember, we're like cool kids, so the bells will be ringing in the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So I just want to give time for members just to give a quick bite or something. And then I hope to see all of you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I will organize a stretch of time. I think more people are coming tomorrow. Where? Tomorrow we are here on the third floor. It's M314. Can I allow you to represent tomorrow? You anyway. If you want to submit, I'll give you the money. Okay. Thanks to everyone. That is not here. I think there was this communication between me and Jato about lunch. But tomorrow you definitely have one. And thank you for coming. And to the language, we thank you as always for always availing yourself. By the way, I'm also the speaker of you.
And this is the question that I'm sending. And